Cause I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. Yes, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me.
Walk round the river blue. and power, and one day we will rise to meet Him in the end. At sunrise, the sun rose in victory and power, and one day we will rise to meet Him in the
end. That's the only reason the Lord needs for anything. Matter of fact, one fellow said the Lord didn't do it on account of it was right. It was right on account of He did it. And He's such the arbiter of right and wrong that it is that way. Whatever He does is right because He does it. And it'll happen because He promised it. It'll come about because He said it. Amen. That's right. He's God. He's God. And, boy, I'm telling you, I'm thankful that I know Him. And we commenced to singing about that. I said, man, that's Him they're talking about. That's the one. That's the one I know. Not a stranger to Him. Amen? Reading in Mark chapter 5, by the way. Not a stranger to Him. Reminded me of the story of the little boy playing outside the window of the house in the sandbox. And old feller's house, he worked down at the old sawmill and didn't have much of nothing and got broke. And his boy was playing with some of the neighbor's kids out in the sandbox behind the house. And he's sitting there in the window up, and he's listening to them talking. That one boy looked at them others and said, neighbor's kids said, my daddy knows the mayor of this town. You know how boys will do. Their daddy and their mama's always got to be the biggest and the baddest and the best. Said, my daddy knows the mayor of this town. That other boy said, that ain't nothing. My daddy runs the biggest outfit in this state and said he knows the governor of this state. And that other little old Saul Miller's boy, he was sitting there listening to see what his boy would say because he knew he didn't have a connection with any prominent people and didn't hardly had enough money to pay his bills and just worked his fingers to the bone to live from hand to mouth. The little boy sitting out there in the sandbox after a couple of minutes of quiet and solitude, he looked up at them other boys. He said, son, that ain't nothing. My daddy knows God. Amen. I'd rather my daddy know God. I'm glad I know Him. It's Him we're singing about this morning. It's Him. And I'm glad I know Him and the free pardon of sin. What a joy it is to be saved by the grace of God. Well, we are reading Mark chapter 5, familiar passage of the Word of the Lord. If you'd stand with us, we'll read God's Word together. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. The Word of the Lord said, and they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because it had oft time been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and their fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself to stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, God, that thou but torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them out away from the country. Now there was in nine to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And when they that fed, the swine fled, and told it in the city and the country, they went out to see what was done. And when they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, talking about Jesus, to depart out of their coast. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Notice the devil's crowd in verse number 16. They said, in verse number 17, rather, said that they wanted him to leave. And in verse number 18, the man that had got right with God wanted him to stay. I tell you, that is the way it will work when you get right with the Lord. Before, you might have been wanting him to leave, but now you'll be wanting him to stay. Verse number 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things God or Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. It is a very familiar passage of the Word of God, this passage in Mark chapter number 5. And I don't know how many countless times I've preached from this passage of God's Word. A whole lot. Matter of fact, I had a fellow at the first church I pastored came to me, and he said, you realize that you've preached out of that same passage. You've at least referenced, I didn't read it as my text, but you've referenced that same passage from Mark chapter 5 the last three Sundays in a row in your sermon. And I wanted so badly to look at him and say, that's because somebody needs to tame you. Amen. Just exactly like they did this man of the land of the Gadarenes. But I want to tell you, friend, I'm glad that the Lord has put this record in the Word of God for us. And this chapter in the Word of God is to teach us that God is the God of a hopeless situation. God is the God that works when help is all gone. God is the God that operates when it is a lost cause. I mean, God specializes in lost causes. When man has gone his last mile, and at the same many times flipped his last switch, pulled his last cord, and pressed his last button, I'm glad the Lord can step in. And God likes to work when nothing else will. Amen? And that's what we find happening in this entire chapter of Mark chapter number 5. You see, we find a man here that the Bible says nobody could bind him. And they had oftentimes bound him with fetters and chains, and the fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke into pieces. And nobody could bind him. Nobody could tame him. They tried to tame him, but the Bible said in verse number 4, neither could any man tame him. I can just see the psychiatrist coming up there wanting to examine his head and to tell him how he could find the good in the inner man and all this. I can see the preacher wanting to baptize him and tell him he'll feel better about his sins. Or maybe the Lord sent a representative up there with the fuzzy hat to try to get him to join and tell him he'd be better off and feel like a much better and a more moral person if he'd just join the Lord. But nobody could tame him. All the politicians tried midnight basketball and they tried putting him on their assistance programs. Our mouth in the AA group failed him. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could bind him. Nobody could tame him. And then we find that nobody could shut him up. In the verse number 5, it said, and always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs of crying and cutting himself with stones. Nobody could shut him up. Can't you see this crazy man foaming at the mouth like a chick-ladder machine or running down out of the mountains and the hills in the cities? Maybe during the times of the feast or maybe into the market. He'll make it as a day bird. As the Bible said in Mark, or rather in Luke chapter 8, the same recollection, the same story. In Luke chapter number 8 said that he wear no clothes. Can you see him coming out of the mountains and in those graveyards where he'd been running naked, cutting himself, wailing and screaming? This man was crazy. You can see him coming down in the market now and again, foaming at the mouth and a carrying on and a bellowing and a screaming and a scaring all the children and not been part of the men and women too. Have been afraid of him and scared of him. His eyes, my friend, all glazed over and they're all red and bloodshot. Amen. Looking like a crazy man coming into town. I'd see him acting crazy. And folks said, I wish I'd lay down in the bed at night and it'd get quiet across the countryside. And all that here is, woo! Woo! That man a screaming and a wailing and a hollering. And somebody said, I wish he'd shut up. Well, we could get some sleep. That old crazy man up in the mountains having another one of his fits again, slobbering and foaming and carrying on like he was mad. And he was. He was crazy. Living up in those mountains for me. I say nobody could bind him. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could shut him up. But the power of the Lord Jesus Christ has demonstrated in his life. And not been the power of Christ made this man that nobody could bind sit down. Amen.
The power of the Lord Jesus Christ made this man that nobody could tame get dressed. Amen. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ made this man that nobody could make shut up come to think clearly. Thank God. I want to preach this morning for the Lord to hit me on this altar. The power of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the presence of Christ. The power of the presence of Christ. Well, we could just break into a chorus. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I'll bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. Oh, I'm so glad. Thank God. When the Lord comes on the scene and His presence becomes real and His power gets demonstrated among us, and we see, thank God, the power of the presence of Christ in this chapter. We see it three ways. I don't know, I have time to preach on all three. I'm going to give you all three and then preach on one. How about that? We see it in the first 20 verses of the chapter. We see the power of Christ over demons and the devil in this man Legion. We think to come back to Him. We also see His power over disease in verses 21 through 34. And this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years who touched the hem of His garment. God has power over the devil. God has power over disease. And thirdly, we see His power over death. In the verses 35 through 43, He raises Jairus' little daughter from the dead. I'm glad the Lord has power. Now listen, these are three things that not a one of us has power over this morning. Nobody in here has power over devils. Nobody in here has power over disease. Nobody in here has power over death. But none of those things have power over God. Hey! I'm preaching about the power of the presence of Christ. He has power on the devil, over disease, over death. One thing is for certain, we're a servant an all-powerful God. We're serving an almighty God. We're serving, my friend, an omnipotent God. He knows all things, understands all things, can do all things. Hey! But being these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Ain't nothing too big for God. And nothing too strong for God. There's not a mountain too high, a valley too low, a river too wide, a time too big, a battle too great. There's nothing too big for God. I'm so glad we're serving a God that can. The children of Israel said, can God set a table in the wilderness? But I'm not in the can God crowd today. I'm in the God can crowd. God can. God can. Can He what? Whatever needs to be done, that's what He can. Whatever you need, that's what He can. Whatever your situation is, that's what He can. No need to ask, can God? Let's just say God can. God can. And so I'm preaching this morning about the power of the presence of Christ. I want you to notice some things that are found in verses 1 through 20 that will happen when the power of the Lord is present. Three simple things in earth divine will go to the house. First of all, the power of the presence of Christ is in our midst. Satan will flee. When His presence is present, Satan will flee. In verse number 1 through 13, we find about this man. This man we'll call a legion, which is how he answered the Lord. I know that was the devil's answer out of him, but it's the only name we have for him, so I'll call him legion. The Bible says that he dwelt in the tombs naked, running around like a crazy man. Notice concerning this issue of how Satan will flee. Notice the plight of the sinner. The plight of the sinner in verses 3 through 5 says that he had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could tame him. It might as well have said he had his dwelling in the bars and the honky-tonks and the nightclubs and the worldly places of this world. Hey, friend, that's where death is. That's where darkness is. Isn't that right? My 5 saying, hey, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. How when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. I'm going to tell you, hey, the soul that does not know the Lord, the man that does not know God, he's a living under bondage. He's my friend, a living in captivity. He's a living under death. He has not the hope of Christ in him. And is a dwelling in a graveyard of life. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, that's where I was. But now have they quickened unto life through Jesus Christ. Hey, hey, he was a living in death. He was a living in darkness. He was living without hope.
Nobody could bind him. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could shut him out. Oh, the plight of the sinner. But then after you apply to the sinner, you'll never see in the Scriptures the plight of the sinner depicted without it showing you the might of the Savior. Amen. I'm so glad, thank God. Yes, I preach to you how sin will destroy your life. But may I say the Savior has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Hey, thank God. The might of the Savior in verse 3. He said, and to this man, he looked at him and said, come out of a man, thou unclean spirit. And now he didn't say anything else. He just spoke and said, come out of him. There's no offer of our explanation as to who he was or what gave him the authority to do this. And the devil knew he had the authority. I want to tell you, God is powerful today. And the devil knows who he is. Matter of fact, you remember that band of rogue of vagabond Jews, and they got to the place where they wanted to cast out devils. Amen. You remember that in the book of Acts? Matter of fact, they went out there and found the fellow that was full of a devil. He was about in the shape this man is in. And they said, come on, we adjure thee, Satan, and Jesus, whom Paul preaches, and come out of this man. You know what the devil said? Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? Oh, hey, listen, and hey, the devil's come over here. He commenced to having a convention fit and sacked them fellas up, beat the devil out of them, and tore their clothes off of them, and sent them out of there running naked and ashamed. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, the devil knows who Jesus is. The Bible said in the book of James that the devils also believe and tremble. They know who Jesus is. Hey, and he has power over them. Oh, listen, hey, God is powerful today. There's no sinner in this building that he cannot save. There's no saint in this building that he cannot help. There's no challenge in this building that he cannot meet. Hey, thank God. He's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the great I am. He's my rock and fortress. He's my refuge and soul. Hey, hallelujah. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's the captain of my salvation. Thank God. He's the great physician that heals the sick. I'm a genuine man. I know him. He's enough. He's enough. Matter of fact, he's more than enough. Amen. The power of the presence of Christ, the might of the Savior, God is powerful enough. See, our G. Campbell Morgan said one time, what we do in the crisis always depends on whether we see the difficulties in the light of God or in the shadow of God, or if we see God in the shadow of the difficulties. I mean, are you looking at God based on how big your problem is? Or are you looking at your problem based on how big God is? One fellow said, quit telling your problem or God how big your problem is. Are, and start telling your problems how big your God is. Amen. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot face. Amen, this earth. I'm so glad I know him. He's powerful enough. And so we see the might of the Savior. And then we see the flight of the spirits. We see the flight of the spirits. These evil spirits that held him bound. In verses 10 through 13, the Bible said there was a herd of swine out there feeding.
old nasty old hogs, and 2,000 of them there was. And the devil came out of this man. There's enough devils in this one man to drive 200 or to drive 2,000 swine to commit suicide. Amen. They ran down a steep place and choked themselves in the sea. I want to tell you, friend, there's a lot of folks at the coast around some earth. If you know what, if you really knew, when you rode down the road and looked at the fella, when you stopped at the red light over there next to you and that car beside you, if you knew what was going on down in here with him, you'd be scared to death to sit parked next to him. Amen. It'd scare you if you knew some of the plays of turning and the hearts and minds of people in this building today. Oh, yes, that's right. The devil is at work. He's out of working hard, friend. Hey, he ain't going to leave you alone. He's doing all he can to destroy your life and to wreck your family and to tear up our church. He's at work.
It'd amaze you if you knew how much the devil's doing in my life and yours. And he ain't by himself. Ain't that right? Principalities and powers. Notice all these plural. Rulers of the darkness. Wickedness in high places. Boy, that's what we're battling. Amen. It's not the enemy you can't see that is your problem. It's the enemy you cannot see. And then to compound it all, you're toting around a body of death. Amen. You're toting around a flesh that is that enmity with God. Oh, my Lord, we're fighting a mighty enemy. But thank God we've got a powerful God. Hey, that's the thing. What I'm preaching this morning, would absolutely put 99% of the psychiatrists in the world out of business if folks would hear what I'm preaching today. Amen. That's exactly right. If this fellow had been around in our day, they'd have said he's got a mental illness. Let's put him on some drugs. Let's see if we can fix him. Let's give him some chemicals. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. And they'd keep him some doped up and some dazed out. And they'd keep him levelized. But on the inside, there'd be torment. And the devils would still be at work. Oh, yes. If folks could ever just meet Jesus and get their lives in his hand and shut down over more of the mental hospitals in this country. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Have you ever noticed these fellows won't let you talk to them unless you lay them down? I guess when you're horizontal, you think better. You ever notice that? I mean, they won't sit lay down and talk to them. What a bunch of coops. I mean, the average fellow that does, that's crazier than you are. And you expect him to fix your problems? Have you ever been around that crowd? I've been through the classes. They make you take some of them kooky classes down there when you go through it for college. Them fellows is crazy. I mean, I'll tell you how crazy they are. One of them taught the class where I went down at West Georgia College. It was in the middle of the winter quarter I'm talking about. And every day it'd be 20 degrees outside or so. Early in the morning to come in, he'd come in the day and he'd have on a pair of blue jeans and his two low down sorry to him, the sucker, so he'd just walk the end of them off. And they'd go ragged and all this junk, holes all in them. He'd wear a tank top and at 20 degrees, no coat and flip-flops, and his hair looked like a bird to set up an S in it. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you, he was crazy. Then he wanted to get up there and psychoanalyze all us. He was crazy as one of the bunch. Supposed to be a school of higher learning. And you know what we did on Friday afternoon? Or on Friday, rather, for class, every Friday, when we came in for class, he made us go into these breakout sessions where he took the 50 or 60 of us that there was in the whole class, broke us down into groups of 10 or thereabouts, and have us set in little circles. He'd pass out crayons and pieces of paper and said, draw me a picture and color it. And then we're going to analyze it. I'll tell you, my friend, $1,500 for a class like that? That's highway robbery. Ought to put somebody in a penitentiary, charge them $1,500 for something like that. It's highway robbery. Amen. It's the attorney said, well, I asked him, wasn't a flip you wanted to draw? He'd say, draw whatever's on your mind, whatever you're thinking about. Oh, I draw mean pictures, rough pictures. He said, Mr. Parr, I sense some anger in
thing. He said, what are you angry about? I said, I'm angry because I lost 2.5 hours worth of employment. You pay $1,500. Don't call it with a crayon. Oh, it's not out of your mind, man. I'm going to tell you, those fellows are crazy. What I'm preaching today is the answer for folks in this world. It's Jesus that's the answer. It's not the nutcase doctors in our society that want to dope up our children and get them out of their mind to control their behavior. I tell you, it's Jesus. That's the answer. Amen.
Alcoholism is not a sickness. Drunkenness is an abomination. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's right. Homosexuality is not a decision or an alternate lifestyle or a choice. Neither is it something that is chosen for you and given to you. It's sin, it's an abomination, and it's against God. And by the way, when your children misbehave, that's not really called being hyper, it's called being ugly. And the answer is a paddle and not a pill. Amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Oh, they've got ADD. Yeah. Boy, it's amazing how the scriptures are handled ADD. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, that's what King James Bible said. Amen. If you don't love that like that, don't blame me. I'm a mailman. All I'm doing is delivering the mail this morning. Amen. That's right. Hey, friend, it's amazing how much restraint and temper your youngins will develop in light of a good old-fashioned bill. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Oh, yes. It's amazing how some of you right now, some of you sitting in this building can't do a stinking thing with your youngins. They come where I am, and I don't have a minute's problem out of them. All I got to do is look at them and growl just right. And they do just exactly what I want them to do. And I love them. They love on me. It's amazing how it works, my friend. You could send that little devil home with somebody that'll teach them right and put them in a regiment. Amen. And make them get up when they want to sleep and go to bed when they want to stay up. Take a bath when they don't want to. And not take a bath when they do want to. Even when they're not hungry, and don't eat when they are hungry. I mean, break their little will, break their little spirit. After a few weeks of that, they'd be a march and saluting and saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm going to tell you, thank God. Well, we need some discipline in the Holy Spirit of love in our lives for our children. This man did not get any training at home. How do you know that? Because he was running around naked in the cemetery, cutting himself with stones, weeping and wailing and screaming all day and night. I mean, like that didn't get any training at home. His mama said, oh, son, whatever you want to do will be all right. Isn't that right? Just give him what he wants. Yeah. Well, the night was down at the restaurant, they brought the silverware out, and little Katie pulled the knife out of the silverware, a big old sharp steak knife. She pulled it out of, you know, had it wrapped up and such. She pulled it out. Sonny took it from her and put it on the other side of the table. I looked at her and I said, oh, honey, just give her what she wants. You've got to let your children make their own choices in life. Why, you a fool. You don't let them make their own choices when it comes to whether or not they want to cut themselves with a steak knife, whether or not they want to brush their teeth and comb their hair, whether or not they want to go to school. Then why do you want to let them make their own choices when it comes to whether or not we're going to have prayer time, whether or not we're going to read the Bible? Amen. If it takes it, sit on them until they do exactly what you say to do. You're big, they're small. You're right, they're wrong. You take charge. You're the parent, they're the child. Amen. By the way, youngin, when you rebel against your parents, it does not show that you're a good youngin. It shows you're from the devil, for rebellion is evident to the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is evident to idolatry. You could save yourself a lot of trouble down there at the counselor, a lot of time and money down there at the psychologist if you just learn to take control of your youngins instead of letting them control you. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God. That wouldn't be in the sermon before. That's good preaching. Thank God. Oh, yes. Hey, this would solve the world's problems. We could keep them out in empty house, the mental homes, the people just believe and trust and do what I'm preaching today and turn their hearts and lives over to Jesus and raise their families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we wouldn't have to deal with crazy men on this old man legion.
You could make the devil have fits. Amen. You just learn to live for God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, and of power, and of a sound mind. I tell you, God is not intended for none of his goodness to run around acting like there's some sort of crazy person with all these schizophrenias and all this other junk that they can diagnose people with. The Lord can deliver you from that. You don't believe that? If I didn't believe the Lord could deliver me from that, I wouldn't believe the Lord could deliver me from my sins and going to hell. I understand there's such a thing as mental illness. Seriously, a person's got real mental problems and not just tormented by sin and guilt and all this stuff. I understand all that. I understand that people got real chemical imbalances. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that the reason why they got the trouble they've got is because of sin they're doing now or sin they have done in the past. And the guilt of yesterday is driving them crazy.
People going to these schools and shooting and killing our young'uns. They all want to talk about what they did 20 years ago and how it's haunted them ever since and how it's continued to run through their minds ever since and drove them crazy ever since. You know how to get rid of that? Get it under the blood.
Trust in Jesus. Beg God to have mercy. And then you can live in peace. Amen. Well, if I live my life worried about everything I used to do and have done, I'd already be crazy. I'm not proud of everything I've done in life. And I'm not proud of probably everything I'll do in the future. But I will say this, friend. I thank God that which is past has been given to God and it is forgiven.
And it can be in your life too. You can live in peace. You can live in peace. Well, I've got to move on. I'm just about done. I'm going to move on. Whenever you see the Lord and the power of the presence of God come on the scene, you'll see Satan flee. Secondly, your society will fear. When the Lord begins to move, it will divide the congregation. That's right. Hey, people are scared to death of real religion. They're scared to death of God coming on the scene. Had a fellow tell me this week, and I think he's a pretty good man, but he's heard so much of it that he didn't want me to get some kind of nut. He's a matter of fact, everything that I've known about him, been around a lot, everything that I've known about him, heard about him, watched him in business, he's pretty straight. I've seen him testify on the job site, and I mean, just getting the glory and things. I'm talking about a fellow that lives right, tries to do right. And he said, now I tell you, I try to take my religion real soon, but now I'm not some sort of fanatic or nut now. I thought to myself, you've heard folks criticize and talk so ugly about Christians. And folks that have really sold out to God over the years, that you're scared to death that somebody else will put you in that category. Can I give you something this morning? Y'all take your pencil. Y'all take your pencil and take a pad and write this down now. I'm going to give you something to write down. Something you can remember for the rest of your days. It'll help you. Or if somebody calls you a fanatic. Do you know what a fanatic is? Here's the definition of a fanatic. A fanatic is somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. Amen. A fanatic is somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. They'll say, well, that fellow's a fanatic. He's some sort of Jesus freak. After much religion's made him go crazy. Amen. When they say you're a fanatic, you're an old fogey. You're crazy. You say thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to mark that down as a trophy in my book. When they say you're a fanatic, it means you love Jesus more than they do. Amen. Society will fear. Notice these things in the Scripture that brings fear to society. The demonstration of a sovereign God brings fear to a society. Verse 14, it said, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And that they went out to see what it was that was done. Can't you see them going into town? Hey, fellas, you wouldn't believe it. Everything's been going good. We've had the best hog crop we've ever had. You ain't never seen the pigs we're raising, fattest old pigs that you've ever seen in your life. You wouldn't believe what a time we've been having. Expecting to take that crowd to market. And there's this religious nut, this fanatic that pulled up in a ship long ago. And you know that crazy man that up there on the mountain? He come right now. He hangs around that crazy man. And soon as what him and that crazy man got together, every one of my pigs run down there and choked themselves and drowned in the ocean. Amen. All right, let's say, hey, them folks in that town would have rather had a demon-possessed man, hey, and had their hogs. They were more concerned about hogs than they were humans. By the way, that is the mark of a bunch of people in this modern day. They worship the creation more than the Creator. Isn't that right? According to Romans 1, they worship the creature, the creation, if you will, more than the Creator.
who is blessed forever. Amen. And the Bible said that they were warped in their mind. He gave, turned them over to a reprobated mind. Let them do as they would. They became homosexuals and lived in their filth and in their sin. And they died without conscience. Amen. That's the generation we're living in. And these people here said, hey! And listen, hey, I don't believe that they were concerned about the pigs so much. They were raising these pigs for slaughter. But what they were concerned about was the money. It was costing them something for this man to get right with God. There's a lot of folks that love to see people get right with God, but it never cost them anything. Amen. It's a crash because they take up an offering down at the church. They're upset. It's because the preacher's always talking about missions. It's because the man of God's always wanting to pave the parking lot and put in a barracks and build a building. And he's always asking me for money. Preach, I'd be better off to take my money and buy me a big old RV and a bass boat and head down to Vallejo Sunday and spend time with my family. That's money better spent. Oh, but when you die, friend, and not when the world comes to an end, and all that junk you've invested in has turned to a pile of ashes, the only thing that'll last is the things of God that you've invested your life in.
It's the only thing that's going to last. The demonstration of a sovereign God. The world is very afraid of anything they cannot explain. Notice liberals, they'll never accept a miracle. They won't explain how the three Hebrew children went through the fire without getting burned. I'll tell you how. The Lord let them in and He let them out. They say there's no such thing as a miracle. It's an anomaly. Some things are strange happenings, but they'll never say they're miracles. The world will not accept creation. Now, you'd have to have more faith to believe that in the beginning there was nothing and all of it just became something all by itself. And that there's this amoeba floating around out there in the ocean somewhere and up there and bumped into a few grains of sand, grew some fins, hopped up on the sea, flopped around in the dirt till he grew legs and a tail, climbed up a tree, fell down and broke his tail, walked across the street, put on a three-piece suit, sat down in a university seat and said, thank God I'm a man at last. You'd have to believe and have more faith to believe that foolishness than you would in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Amen, that's exactly right. But the world is not going to accept the power of God. If there is a creator, then there's also a judge, and they don't want to answer to the judge. They won't accept creation. They won't accept the dramatic, life-changing salvation. Religion's fine, but don't go too far. Just carry it too far. Isn't that right? Just carry it too far. The society will fear at the demonstration of the sovereign God. It'll fear at the display of the salvation of God. Verse number 15 said, and they came to Jesus, seeing him who was possessed with the devil, and he had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind. There they were afraid. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus with clothes on, and doing right. There's nothing to be afraid of. The man was just as calm as people before when he was crazy. They weren't afraid of him. Now that he's not crazy no more, they're scared to death. It doesn't make a bit of sense to those of us that know the Lord, but it makes a lot of sense to the lost and dying world. They're afraid of a life-changing salvation. Religion doesn't scare anybody. Religion's maintaining the status quo. Religion does not rock the boat. Religion does not upset the apple cart. Religion leaves everything alone. Religion is not changing. Religion has an order of services and an authority that remains constant. But a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is very different. And when you know Him, you can say it's different now. Oh, so different now. It changes everything when you know the Lord. It'll upset the plans you had made for your life. People that used to know you, all of a sudden they don't know you no more. They recognize the face, but the person behind that face is not the same one they used to know. Woo! Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. You've had some of them, no doubt, since you've been saved. Those of you who've been right with God, those of you that saved, and you've had no doubt some of them since you've been saved. Look, you say, you know, you're changed. You're not like you used to be. And they didn't mean it as a compliment. They didn't like it. They liked the old drinking buddy. They liked the old crowd that run around. They liked the one who wanted to tell the dirty jokes and talk ugly all the time and gossip about everybody and the grandmother. Amen, that's right. And now you don't go with all that. Now you don't run with that crowd. And they say, you've changed. You're not like you
used to be. Oh, I want to say this morning, I'm not going to wait for them to say it. I want to raise my own hand and say, thank God I've changed. I'm not like I used to be. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus.
Well, I'm glad I'm saved.
Displays salvation. Society fears that the demonstration of the sovereign God displays salvation. Society fears that the deceitfulness of sin. This man gets right with God. I can just see it. I can see his mom. I've seen this more times you can count. Can't you see this man? His mom and his wife. Every Sunday comes down to the church. They grab the preacher and say, preacher, pray for my boy. Pray for my husband. He's lost. If something don't happen, he's going to go to hell, sure as the world. He's crazy. That crazy man living in them tombs. That's my boy. You pray for him. He needs to straighten up. All right. He straightens up. After he gets straight, he wants to put on his clothes. And now mama don't, he don't want to go with mama down to the beach anymore, down there where them pigs drown themselves in the sea. He don't want to go back down there no more where them pigs are without his clothes on. And now he's done got saved, and mama wants to go to church every 2 or 3 months. And he wants to be where Jesus is all the time. He don't ever want to leave where the Lord is. Well, mama said, son, you've about lost your mind, haven't you? Now, before he was crazy and they're scared of him. Now he gets right with God and he's got plenty of sense. And they're even more scared of him. Right. Mama said, I wanted to get right with God. And she did. She thought. But then when he got right with God, his in his right mind, and he commenced instructing Mama, you know, Mama, you know, if you'd really sell out to God, you wouldn't have all them worries and threats and fears and doubts that you got. Mama didn't like that. Mama said, oh, I want my boy saved. But then when he got saved, he got too saved for her. I've seen wives pray for their husband to get saved. When the husband got saved, the husband got so saved, he was straightening the wife out, and the wife didn't like it no more, then she didn't care. Ain't that a shame? Religion, see, wants you to temper yourself and just kind of get in the mainstream. But they're scared to death of a total life change. But I'll tell you, when you come to know the Lord, hey, you just think about it like this. What are we? We are a clump of dirt and water that God breathed in. That's all we are. Just a clump of dirt and water that God breathed in. Now, if you've got a clump of dirt and water that God breathed in and give us life, all right, you've got a clump of dirt and water, and he comes in contact with the God of the entire universe, it's bound to change his life. I don't believe in this religion without righteousness. Religion without righteousness is responsible for wars world over. But when a man gets saved, it'll change him. It'll change him forever. I'm done preaching. I'm going to finish with this. Society, Satan will flee. Society will fear. Thirdly, the saints will follow. If you're really saved by the grace of God, you'll like what's happening when you see people get right with the Lord. All men did marvel, it said in verse number 20, the latter part. Why did they marvel? Because of the desire for His presence they saw in this man. He prayed the Lord that I might go with you. Let me explain something to you this morning. As saints want to be where God is, and sinners don't. Saints want to be in the presence of the Lord. They want to be in the will of God. They want to walk with God. And sinners don't. You know why they don't come to church on Sunday? Because they don't want to. Saints want to be where God is, and sinners don't. That's right. Before this man begged Jesus, please leave. Don't torment me. You've been there when the Spirit of God come down and convict you when you was lost. You absolutely felt like He was tormenting you. David said the pains of hell caught hold on my soul. Conviction's miserable, buddy. But now that he's right with God, he said, Jesus, if you've got to go, just let me go with you. It'll change you when you really know Jesus. Notice his desire for his presence. Then his duty of publication. Jesus said, no, you can't go now. I want you to go home. Go tell your friends. Go show your family what great things that God has done for you. Go tell your friends. Go show your family, he said in Luke 8. You can tell your friends, but you'll have to show your family. Go tell your friends. Go show your family.
And then I want you to notice the delight of publishing. What a wonderful testimony. And what great results. Can you imagine how high a demand this fellow was? How, after he got right with God, how high a demand he was in at the local church? I want you to come down here and share your testimony of what the Lord's done to change your life. Boy, isn't that a blessing? How about you in your life? When's the last time you shared your testimony? When's the last time you joyed in telling somebody what Jesus did for you? How are we going to have the presence of God? We've got to have the right kind of worship in John 4. True worshipers worship in spirit and truth. We've got to have the right kind of walk in 1 John 1, 6. For if we say we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We've got to have the right kind of welcome. For Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open up, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Will you let him in this morning into your heart, your life, our church? Let him demonstrate the power of his presence in the fullness of your life and change you for time and eternity, if you would. Would you stand with us? You need to come to business of the Lord. Would you come this morning? If you need to come pray, would you come? I want God in my life. I want His Spirit. I want His power. I want His fullness. I want everything that God has for me to be demonstrated in my heart and in my life. You need to come pray this morning. Would you come?
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
He's enough.
Amen.
He's more than enough.
He is His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out.
Always touch your heart. Do as this man.
What
did
you
do?
You can touch Him. You will never be the same. I search for peace among the shadows dark and lonely. Gave up on finding that long and lasting love. I tasted all the things this world could seem to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above.
visit and do a couple things. One, Cole and Delman, we mentioned this morning, and that they missed him. That may be more important. You really missed it this morning. Is that right? And then remind them that tonight the service will be at 5 o'clock. That gives me time ready. But you won't come before me. But like they said, what if we don't call faith worship over them? That's what we're hoping for. That's exactly what we're aiming for. So look around and watch those people that may not get here in this moment. Every one of people will sit face they every Sunday. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like you've got a converse just for you. And so look around and see if you're missing. People are missing you in those seats. Give them all this afternoon. Tell them you did see it. And we miss you. And we want you to come tonight, and we're going to have a meeting at 5 o'clock at Patrick's. Amen. And